Now, local news from Montana Public Radio.
Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by lead newspaper Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison. And Mike, the Senate this week passed the Flathead Water Compact, which quantifies water rights for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, and the vote was pretty big margin, 31 to 19 in favor.
That's right. We had, I believe, 11 or 12 Republicans in favor. We had all but one Democrat. So, yeah, 20 Democrats, 11 Republicans, and, you know, this margin didn't surprise me that much. I figured it might be in the high 20s, but I was thinking around 30-20 it would pass just because of the rather extensive lobbying effort on behalf of the compact by a lot of fairly prominent groups and people. And we had the governor, the attorney general, we had the tribes, of course, and we had the Senior Water Rights Holders Association. We had the Water Resources Association, which is a lot of irrigators. We had lots of the major farm groups in support of it. And really the only core of opponents are some irrigators and some water users on and around the reservation. And so you've got all the big institutional people behind something. It's probably going to pass.
That doesn't mean that the debate wasn't lengthy and heated. And here's what opponent Bozeman Republican Jedediah Hinkle had to say in opposition to it.
Though I've spent more time on this piece of legislation than any other this session, I am far from understanding all of the over 1,000 pages of highly technical and legal documentation, and I will not vote Nancy Pelosi style and pass a permanent legislation just to find out whether it's good or bad.
And Mike, he later had to apologize for those remarks.
The Democrats started objecting. You could just hear him at the end of that clip there, and then he was gaveled down by the chairman of the committee that day, Senator Fred Thomas, a Republican from Stephensville, and then later told to apologize. And I think the remark about Nancy Pelosi made Democrats angry, but I think probably what made people angrier is he was suggesting that people were just passing this without reading it or understanding it at all. Well, I think a lot of the people in the chamber would say, well, that isn't true.
And they had ample time to study it. They were given copies of it well in advance of the vote. So if someone didn't read through the 1,000 pages, that's kind of on them, isn't it?
Well, and also he talked about 1,000 pages. I think he's talking about the abstracts and the appendices. There's a lot of stuff. And it is complex. You know, I haven't read the whole bill or the whole compact. I've read a lot of summaries of it and lots of analyses of it. I don't think you have to read a whole bill to understand what's in it. But I think that his criticism saying, you know, this is very complex and maybe we shouldn't pass it. I mean, it is complex, but, you know, the legislature votes on a lot of complex things.
Part of the compact debate has centered on whether the tribes have valid water rights claims off the reservation. And the bill sponsor, Chaz Vinson, another Republican, argues it would be hard to prove that they don't.
The only thing that's going to get them dismissed is for you to prove that that tribe was not there in 1855. And all the other side has to do is stand there with the map from the Smithsonian saying, yes, we were.
And Mike, he makes a valid point.
Well, he's talking about the 1855 treaty that underlies some of these rights. And what that treaty says is that the tribe and its members have the right to fish on various waters around the state outside the reservation. And some of these water rights that or in the compact, the tribe is going to have some in-stream flow rights on some streams and rivers outside the reservation. And what that means is that they want to be able to maintain fisheries in those streams. And there's a lot of people who got up on the floor of the Senate and say, I don't believe that they have those rights. I don't believe the treaty gives them those rights. And the counter-argument is, well, you know, court decisions on that treaty with other tribes have upheld those types of rights.
And we'll see what happens when the compact goes over to the House. It's going to face a lot of opposition there as well, and we'll see if that coalition of support will hold up over there. And Chuck, the Senate, with a much closer vote, also sent to the House a bill sponsored by Republican Dwayne Ankeny to require more transparency in campaign spending, the so-called dark money. And Ankeny has to be pleased that his bill got through the Senate.
Yes, that's right, Sally. It barely squeaked out of the Senate State Administration Committee earlier this week on a 4-3 vote, and the chair of the committee, Dee Brown, a Republican from Hungry Horse, actually voted for it to get out of the committee and then voted against it on the floor. So I think Republicans were trying to avoid a blast motion, and as it turned out, he got six other Republican votes besides himself, and all the Democrats voted for it. So it passed 28-22.
And as usual, Senator Ankeny gave us a colorful quote about why he thinks this bill should become law.
Civility? That ain't going to improve its civility. Hell, I ain't civil. That's not going to cut that down, and I don't want it to. That's part of our process. What I don't believe in is a person's ability to come after me without me knowing who it is.
And Chuck, he doesn't care if you're not civil. He just wants to know who you are.
Wants to know your name. You can be uncivil. And, of course, he's easily the most quotable legislator in the body because he just always has a knack for putting it in down-to-earth terms like that. But this is a major bill, and we should mention that he's introducing it for Democratic Governor Bullock. So it's a bipartisan effort and made it out of the Senate. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the House. I think it'll have a tough fight in the House, and we may see this be one of the bills that the Democrats use their so-called silver bullets on to get it to the floor, where I think its chances are maybe better than in the House State Administration Committee.
Well, opponents like Scobie Republican John Brendan, who, by the way, is a former chair of the state Republican Party, he says people just need to have thicker skins.
You know, you talk about being attacked from out of state. I've been attacked from in-state for over 50 years in this political game, and you know what? The only thing I lost was my hair.
And Chuck, John Brendan is okay losing his hair. He doesn't care who is spending money to campaign against him.
That's true. And I think the difference between John Brendan's early years and now is the whole change in campaigns after the United States Supreme Court's Citizens United decision in 2010, which essentially opened the floodgates for corporations and labor unions to spend money in campaigns in unlimited amounts as independent expenditures. So it's a whole new deal now than it was 20 or 30 years ago, and that's what this bill is in response to.
Well, we'll follow that in the House and see what happens. And Mike, one bill that did not make it through the transmittal deadline is Missoula Republican Doc Moore's bill to abolish the death penalty. And that bill was killed with a 50-50 tie vote in the House, and that's the closest, I believe, the closest it's ever come to passing the House.
Oh, I think so. I mean, in the past, I've seen it go down maybe 55-45. And I was expecting pretty much the same thing. I thought I might get, you know, in the low 50s against it, or I mean, in the high 40s for it. But we actually had, I believe, 12 Republicans voting for the bill, which surprised me. And then if all the Democrats had held together and voted for it, it would have passed, on second reading at least. And we had 3 Democrats who voted against it. And so it ended up with a tie vote, 50-50. And that means it does not pass. And Representative Moore could have brought it up the next day to reconsider. And I asked him about that, and he said he didn't know, and obviously he decided not to. I think it'd be awfully tough to ask the House to put it up again and to have yet another extremely emotional debate on the House floor when you have people standing up like Representative Tom Barry from Roundup talking about his son who was murdered and other people talking about terrible things that have happened to their relatives and crimes. It's just not something that the House really wants to go through on a daily basis.
Representative Barry was actually arguing against it.
Yes, he was arguing to kill the bill and maintain the death penalty.
Well, still, death penalty opponents are getting closer, obviously, to getting it abolished, and they have to be heartened by how it fared in this session and thinking that maybe it will take one more session to get it abolished.
I don't know if they're thinking that. I haven't talked to them directly, but I know that they were pretty pleased that they actually got 12 Republicans in the House to vote for that bill. That is the closest they've come. They have gotten it through the Senate before, but it's always died on the House Judiciary Committee, which is a pretty tough committee for any sort of liberal-leaning proposal. This time they got it out of there by a vote into the House and floor and almost passed it, but it's still dead.
Well, Chuck, the Senate passed a proposed constitutional amendment that would essentially cap the state's coal tax trust fund at $1 billion and spend money beyond that target on infrastructure, but that has a long way to go to get final approval.
Yes, this was really the first step. It got 30 votes in the Senate, and the way the Montana Constitution has set up the procedure for the legislature to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot is it takes 100 total votes in both houses of the legislature out of the 150 senators and reps. So Ripley's bill got 30 votes yesterday, so it needs 70 votes in the House, which I think is a lot. I think he'll have a tough time, although he told me that he expects the House to amend the bill so it would come back to the Senate for a different vote later on. This is the latest of many attempts to try to, in one way or another, change the coal tax trust. The opponents calling it busting the trust or raiding the trust. And to date, they've always succeeded in beating back these efforts. Even some Democrats who ended up voting no on the bill, like John Sesso, the Democratic leader from Butte, told Ripley that he liked what the bill tried to do, didn't like kind of how he did it, but he liked the idea of having a permanent fund for infrastructure. It would provide about $27 million a year forever, as long as the coal keeps being mined. And as some people have said, that's not a certainty either with concerns over climate change. So there's a long way to go on this, but I think right now he would have been better if he'd come out of there with 35 or 40 votes, because the House will be difficult too among Democrats, I think.
Well, speaking of a long way to go, we're at the midpoint of the session, but Mike, there is still a long way to go. The big budget and tax issues, Medicaid expansion, all that are still up in the air and still undecided.
Yeah, these guys have only begun to fight, and they haven't really fought that much, but we're certainly going to see a lot of that in the second half. Medicaid expansion, a huge battle. The budget, they're way apart on that. We're going to have a big fight over tax cuts, infrastructure. You know, those are just, and some of the stuff we talked about today as well. And so there's a long road ahead, and there's got to be a lot of compromising and lots of political maneuvering going on, and like I said, it's just getting started.
And Chuck, a lot of those issues often aren't decided until the very end of the session, when the serious horse trading often doesn't begin until the last week or two.
That's correct, and that's when serious negotiations go on between usually the majority party leaders and the governor, who's a Democrat, and I expect nothing less this time. The big one is House Bill 2, the budget, but there are all these other ones Mike mentioned as well, and I think it's going to come down to the end, just like it always does.
Well, I have been speaking with Lee newspaper reporters Mike Dennison and Chuck Johnson, and you've been listening to Capital Talk. I'm your host, Sally Mock. And Chuck and Mike, I hope you have a great mid-session break and can get out and get some fresh air.
We certainly plan on that.
Thanks a lot, Sally. That's the plan.